Moncrief on News Talk.
In many workplaces, if a woman takes maternity leave, she can often be left disadvantaged when she returns. And the same applies to sports, especially those that involve some sort of ranking. But the Women's Tennis Association had made some moves to change that, not just for maternity leave, but also for fertility treatments. Maura Trasynikalig is a doctor and columnist with the Irish Independent. Maura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why are rankings important if you're a professional tennis player?
Well, very simply, they're important because where you place on the ranking will depend, will make decisions over who you can play, where you can play, and how much money you make, very, very simply. Basically, if you're ranked 101, you're going to make more money than the person who's ranked 590. And it really doesn't matter what sport it is. I know we're talking about tennis today, but for example, in many athletics, for example, you make your money and you get your grants and your carding system and your scholarships and this, that and the other based of how well you ran last week or the year before last. So it's all extremely important. And all these things come into play. I mean, obviously, most of us, we don't have a choice when we get sick, for example. But we have a little bit of control maybe over when we're doing fertility treatments or maybe choosing when we're going to decide to get pregnant. But as we know, Father Time waits for nobody. And really, all those type of things, probably better off starting them sooner rather than later, which might not work if you're somebody who's worried about your ranking and therefore how much money is going to be in your bank account next month or next year.
Yeah, and indeed, and I suppose a factor in this is that, I suppose, some years back, a professional female tennis player would maybe be looking at retiring when she was leaving her 20s. That wouldn't be so much the case now.
Exactly. With the advent of sports science and what we know now about expert physiology and psychology and sports medicine, people, men and women, are playing well into their 30s and 40s now. And we all remember Roger Federer. He was still playing the top of his game at the age of 40 years. That would have been, you know, unheard of even 10, 20 years ago. So things are moving on. But unfortunately for us, ovaries haven't moved on. They still like to slow down and pull up around the age of 35. So that's still a bit of a problem.
Right, indeed. So for a pregnancy, if a player becomes pregnant, what supports are in place for a female tennis player now?
That's a very good question. And the answer really lies with depending on the organisation you're with and what level you're at. And so, for example, you lose the tennis example at the moment. The WTA have announced they're going to give, you know, time for maternity leave, which is really important because, and the fertility treatment as well, because even in the real world, Sean, in corporate world, in normal life, for example, in Ireland, the normal woman gets 6 months off paid maternity leave. And then even that's not guaranteed at full wages. So there's a stress behind that with money. There's the physical stress, trying to stay, you know, up all night with the baby who's awake all night. And then imagine you're an athlete and you're trying to stay on top of your game by training and this, that and the other. That's difficult. And then people who might not be familiar with this, maybe if they might not realize that people going through fertility treatment often have lots of struggles as well. It's expensive, the financial struggles, the emotional toll, the physical toll it takes on a body. And it's not even the space within a week or 2 weeks. Some people might take 3, 4, 5 months to recover from a fertility cycle. And that can be very important if you're a sports person. And if you're a professional sports person, that's your job. And if you're not running fast enough or hitting a ball fast enough, you can see yourself slide down the rankings very fast, which has huge financial implications for you.
Yeah. OK, so if a woman then is undergoing fertility treatment, how much time is she typically would she now be given?
Well,
I know it depends on the organisation. Yeah. Again.
It depends. But let's say the average woman going through fertility cycle, there's at least four to six weeks at the very least, right? Because you have to imagine the average menstrual cycle and it tends to go along with the menstrual cycle. So that's if things are in a good position to begin with. Sometimes some women may need to prepare for weeks or months beforehand. So you could be going easily 12 weeks. So that's what the beauty of this is. It's giving people that 12 week window. Because even if you go through a normal, for the want of a better word, fertility cycle, which is roughly, say, 4 to 6 weeks, your body could still be another 4 to 6 to 8 weeks after that recovering from it, because you're being pumped full of medications, hormones too, I suppose, bloat up the ovaries, bloat up the egg production to try and get things exactly optimum to give you the biggest yield possible. And so hormones, as we know, play a huge part in our day-to-day lives and also in sports performance. It's a huge factor. Like, for example, even when you take fertility out of it, many elite sportswomen are on, artificial modes of contraception, for example, to try and keep their hormones level balanced and their weight balanced and things like that. And also, you know, periods. People don't particularly want to be competing a big event when they're on their period, for example, in PMS. So if you can imagine, if you have been on that on steroids, so to speak, for fertility treatment, you might need 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks afterwards to come back down again. Some people, for example, gain a lot of weight, gain a lot of bloat, which is not ideal if you're running around a tennis court.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, well, if you've been on steroids, I assume you need to wait for those to clear out of your system in terms of drug testing and the like.
Well, exactly. All these type of things. So whenever an athlete gets sick, even leave fertility to the side, for example, that has to be reported. That has to be in your logbook. You know, there has to be a trail. You know, Sean was taking extra salbutamol for his asthma because he had an asthma attack last week, and we have to allow that out of his system. There are some drugs that are just not allowed in during competition period. Fertility drugs, I'd imagine, would not come in under that, but it would have to be logged, because all of a sudden they're monitoring everything, you know, in your bloods, and all of a sudden if levels of your bloods are changing, for example, our red blood cells might shoot up during fertility treatment because we are, I suppose, encouraging the body into growth phase. You know, people be looking at your biological passport and be saying to yourself, why is Maurice Ross's red blood cell and oxygenation suddenly gone through the roof here? And then they can look back to your results and say, oh yeah, 6 months ago she went through fertility treatment. For example, long distance running, women who have been pregnant often do better in long distance running after they've had their baby, so long as everything else has gone well, because the extra blood that you have in your body pumping around to keep a baby alive as you're growing that baby tends to hang around for a while afterwards. Oh. So you're better oxygenated. It's the same kind of theory, you know, when you hear of athletes doing altitude training, because your body is getting used to doing more with less. Same is with long distance running. So we have seen athletes over the years who tend to do better, so long as they're appropriately supported. And this is the trouble with sport in general and sport science. It can be a bit behind. Women's sport is underfunded, under-researched. And sometimes, you know, if you support these people through these important milestones in life, you reap benefits afterwards, you know. So it's really, really positive that this is happening. And it's a shame maybe that other sports aren't doing it. And actually the real world as well. There are women sitting in offices maybe around the country in Ireland today listening to this who are afraid to tell their bosses, I'm doing fertility treatment. They're doing their injections, you know, hiding in the bathroom and going through huge fertility upheavals up and down, and hormones, you know, giving you headaches, nausea, vomiting, all those type of things, you know, and a little bit of emotional support goes a long way. And, you know, a happy worker, and I suppose these tennis players are workers at the end of the day, is a productive worker, you know?
Mm. Now, is it just tennis that are providing these kinds of support?
It seems to be at the moment, yes. I mean, I've been looking through other sports to see if they're providing similar supports. And if they are, they're keeping it very low under the bushel. Or it appears to be the WTA who are making a big deal of this, which is great. Now, I do know there's some sports in the US. I think basketball as well has done something similar. Something that I haven't seen reach here in Ireland, which in one sense would kind of make sense, because when you think our biggest sports tend to be amateur sports, you know, the Gaelic games and stuff, these people are not getting paid to play. So why would you get paid to take maternity or fertility leave? You know, that's the bigger question. But I'm assuming too, though, there probably is an ad hoc arrangement in lots of sports that we don't know about, because this is very confidential. Not everybody wants to go shouting off the rooftops, I'm going through fertility treatment. So for all we know, there could be athletes involved who have had, you know, little arrangements here and there, maybe not so much in carding and rankings, but maybe help with financials or maybe help with time off. We don't know. And I suppose if this was a good thing to do, the better thing to be doing now would be other sports would actually sort of pay attention to this and say, OK, what can we do to help our athletes? Because fertility for women is a strong subject in every sport, because extreme sport can play havoc on your body unless you're managed appropriately physically and mentally. We have heard so many athletes across the world in lots of different sports, for example, who've lost their periods over the years because the extreme pressures they put their bodies under. That's better managed now because women are being better supported than they ever have been. But obviously, as you can imagine, that can have severe repercussions when you're trying to get pregnant maybe 10, 15 years down the line. And then 20, 30, 40 years down the line, that can affect things like osteoporosis, bone density, heart disease. So it's really important from a health point of view that women's bodies are really well managed. And we haven't been too good with that. But I mean, hopefully this is a sign that things are getting better.
Yeah. Tell us about the case of Alison Felix in the US.
A really interesting case and a brave case, because as we know, it is difficult to speak out at the best of times. I'd imagine even extra difficult to speak out when you're a woman, and even more difficult again when you're a black woman, which Alison Felix is. So she was sponsored by Nike, and she was also having babies. And when she went to and told Nike that she was pregnant, more or less what she got back was, OK, we're going to cut your sponsorship by 70%. So because you're not going to be as visible. And who knows who else this has happened to over the years. They mightn't have made a song and dance about it. Alison Felix did. And she managed to basically front up, basically shamed them into backtracking on it. And you know what? It reaped rewards. Eventually, she came back after having her baby, and she was one of the medalists then in Tokyo a few years afterwards. But this is what's been happening to women. They get to a point, and then if they do decide to take a step back and have a baby, they were punished financially. Because a lot of athletes, their funding comes from sponsorship. You know, it's not so much from the organization. You know, the better known you are, the more well known you are, the more money you make of sponsorship, be it from companies like Nike, who are paying for your shoes and paying for you to be, you know, wearing their gear, cars, nutrition, food, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was a really retrograde step, but it was a brave move because they could have pulled all her funding. And unfortunately, if your funding is gone, it is very difficult to compete against, you know, others around the world who have massive funding.
Yeah, Maura, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Maura Trasig-Nicali there, a doctor and a columnist with the Irish Independent on all those kind of related issues. One texter says this will be really important for the lesser known tennis players. It's an incredible slog to just stay in the world top 100. And those lower rankings don't have the winnings or sponsorship money to keep them afloat financially. Somebody else wonders, do the hormones constitute a performance enhancing drug? How do they square that circle? Well, I think you heard more address that you do have to keep a record of things like hormones or steroids or that kind of stuff. So that would be taken into account. Somebody else wonders, in theory, could you just get to world number one and time it, say around maternity leave soon thereafter, and then become a mother of four and be world number one for years without having to play at all? I suppose theoretically that would require a hell of a lot of planning, I would have thought. And somebody else inevitably wonders, in our equal rights world, does that mean that men will also be getting paternity leave? Well, I suppose a lot of these measures are because of the impact fertility treatment and indeed giving birth has upon the body. And, you know, if you're an athlete, your body is your tool. It probably doesn't have so much of an impact on the man's body, so perhaps not as compelling a case.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.